Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, a little breaking news involving your Houston Texans. Christian Covington, he's signing a one-year deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Not a shock here. We expected Christian Covington to sign somewhere else. Mm-hmm. The scheme fits him a little bit better. 4-3 defense there in Dallas. So Christian Covington is gone. He will not be on the Houston Texans next year.
I mean, not a whole lot to say to that other than that's about what you expected because we saw what they did initially. They signed their guys, Angelo Blackson, et cetera, so they knew where they wanted to go on the defensive front. I still think they're going to look at the draft for another defensive tackle.
Jerod Johnson joins the show right now, the best quarterback mind this side of the Mississippi. Jerod, we're a few days into free agency. A lot of people are kind of freaking out about what the Texans have and haven't done. What are your initial thoughts to what Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien have done and what John Lopez is calling, quote, bargain shopping?
It's Moneyball.
Yeah, it is a Moneyball approach, and I think where the Texans are with now, it's more, I think they're diving deeper into system fit. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I would rather them take this approach than an Osweiler approach. Like, I know the fans, like, I want to see you trying. Like, I want to see you doing something that can move the needle.
Headline
that can make me emotional, excited about the whatever. You think about this grade of free agency, there's not, I don't know, explain that there's, I mean, yes, there's Le'Veon Bell. I mean, there's some guys out there and some moves that are being made, but I think the Texans feel we got a lot of pieces here and we more so want system fit. Mm-hmm. And we're not just going to waste money if it's just to get a name in here if it's not going to be a system fit. And so for me, it doesn't bother me. Of course, I wish they landed Le'Veon Bell. Of course, mm-hmm. You want to have something like that, but at the same time, I'm not down on it either. I'm sitting at around, I grade him a B right now strictly off the fact of like, my optimism is saying they want more system fit and just give money to anyone.
You said system fit, and it's interesting when you say that because we've heard about the Bill O'Brien system for a long time. What exactly is a system fit for the Houston Texans, and what exactly should they be looking for guys to fit that system?
Well, I think it comes down to the production money values part of everything. You know, like there's guys out there to where like the move they made is safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like
Tayshaun Gibson.
You know that's a cost effective move right there. You know, and if you do your analysis, and there is some money ball to it, to where is he going to give us that? If we can get him at a cheaper price than the Honey Badger, and he gives us 80% of his efficiency, that's a smart play. I think it's one of those things where now it gives him more money, more, you know, if you're not jumping overboard, you can maybe make a move at the trade deadline. You can do certain different things. Doesn't mean that it's over. You're just not being wasteful with your spending. When you already have a decent nucleus of quality players, the guys you go get have to fit now. This window is getting smaller, not a time to splurge where you get the Eagles dream team situation where all these guys who didn't fit and personalities and whatever, you have some young guys, you have your older guys, you know, there's a little bit of transition and I think they're going to make more moves after the draft once they figure out, you know, what they got.
Yeah, they could, but, and just to talk about Gibson, who's a good boy, talk about,
you believe this? This guy's
not,
a
not surprised at least.
Talk about Gibson. Here's a guy that was an underachiever, you know, to what they wanted him in Denver. They wanted him, you know, to be a stud.
You're
out
talking
there.
About Roby, not Gibson.
No, I'm sorry, Roby. Exactly, Roby was an underachiever there, and they got him for 1 year, $10 million. That's what you're talking about, value. And hopefully you mine some gold there.
Look, this is, nobody wants to hear this. This is not a popular opinion, but that's how the Patriots won Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank period. They get.
And where did this guy come from?
You know, they go and get players. It's a confidence in your ability to, in your scheme, your ability to get players better to where they can overachieve here
mm-hmm.
for the right price. And I'm not saying that the Texans need to just be cheap and not spend money, but if the guy's not a system fit, if it's not a home run, then I would rather you save that money than just start throwing money out there to people who is like, I hope this works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, it's not popular opinion, and I know this is kind of like, you know, the motion of free agency. It's like you're watching everybody get a ticket to the dance and you're sitting at home. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so I mean, I think the Texans are just being a little more judicious with what they're doing.
What have I seen, or what have the people seen driving around right now that spend their hard-earned money to watch the Houston Texans, that go buy the team gear? What have they seen to where they should believe in the system? Because it's one thing to say, well, they don't fit into our system, but what has Bill O'Brien and what has Brian Gaines shown me to where I should buy into them, their system being something that's eventually going to get the Texans where they want to be?
There's not, I mean, nothing. It's the fact that he's getting paid $1 million to be an NFL head coach, and
discouraging.
That's the reality. Like, that's how they look at it. Like, I'm speaking from a football person.
Mm-hmm.
Your mindset is, I have my plan. I believe in what I do. And, you know, if you guys are going to buy into it, or you're going to fire me.
Do you believe in it? Do you believe in the system?
Yeah, I do.
Well, isn't there a qualifier? Because basically what they're saying is, this is going to sound funny, but work with me. We have our Tom Brady. You know, we have our guy at quarterback. And what do they do with Tom Brady in New England? And what did they live when they were in that Patriots organization? As long as you have your Tom Brady, you can do what you're talking
about. This doesn't mean, like, what I mean by system is not like, I'm not even talking about like the Patriots way, like the process of that. I'm talking about like individual players. You're going shopping. If you need to make lasagna, it does you no good to get the best fried chicken in town. like that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it'd be sweet to have fried chicken, and it's great to have it at the house, if I'm going
to
be an Italian restaurant, then. It does mean, you can find grilled chicken and figure a way to put it on it. You know what I'm saying? But you need marinara more. Like, that's what I'm getting at. Like, when I say system fit, is more
what you're going to do.
A self-awareness of what, like, players in need. And they went after these people. Because if I can get a guy who may not fit my system, whatever, but I'm not going to break the bank, or I'm not going to overpay to get him,
mm-hmm.
then of course you'll take the added ingredients. But if it's not I'm not going to overspend for something that I don't think is going to be a home run,
right?
Is where the Texans are right now.
Former Texas A&M and NFL quarterback Jerod Johnson joining us now on In the Loop. Lopez, you just threw out that the Texans have their Tom Brady.
In their view, I'm not saying he's Tom Brady. I'm saying they got their
guy. Feel like they have their franchise quarterback.
They're going to end up paying him and paying him and paying him as long as he's presumably, you know, at this level. And then they're going to do everything else around him.
So they feel like they have their franchise quarterback.
Of course.
Should they feel that way, Jerod? I mean, I know we've seen Deshaun have one good season, but should they feel that way?
Yes, because nothing's a sure thing. You know what I'm saying? What are you going to do? I mean, like all the team around, just going to just throw another handful of spaghetti against one, hope one of these other Kyler Murray, these other young guys make it. I mean, because if you're the Texans offensively, as much as we complain about weapons and like you would love to get, if you get Will Fuller back, Kiki Kuti, and Hopkins,
mm-hmm.
and you go Lamar Miller,
Deontay Foreman.
And Deontay Foreman. Your thought is that's a young nucleus of quality players that are good enough. And if it's like, if everybody's healthy, and you always got to assume everybody's going to be healthy, you can add to that. So like, as much as I wanted them to get Antonio Brown because I think he's a generational talent, if you know he's not going to be happy, if you know you're going to have to break the bank, whatever, I would bet on my own guys over breaking the bank on that. And it's not, like I said, this isn't moving the needle. Like every year for agency comes, you want your team to be out there taking their
swing. You want to be the Browns.
You want to be them taking their swing. But it's like, I can't go back to as someone who got cut after the Eagles in the dream team season. We got Namdi and you got this guy and you got this guy that didn't make the playoffs. It's like, there's another side of this thing too, to where you spend all this money or whatever and everybody gets fired because they all guess wrong.
But even in the other systems, and we're talking about guys, and obviously ideally you'd like to be healthy, but you've been around the game long enough to where you can't guarantee that you're going to have a full arsenal. It's very rare that it happens in the NFL. It just seems like in other systems that we look at, New England, they lose Josh Gordon when he's their leading receiver. They don't miss a beat, and I know it's a different exception, but you can also go to the Kansas City Chiefs. Kareem Hunt gets kicked off the team. They throw Williams in there. The offense falls back a little bit, but they're still one of the best offenses in the league. It just seems like we're talking about a system, and then we're talking about players. Do they have the coach that can maximize the players, especially with all the cards you get dealt over the course of a season in regards to injuries?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like, it's, we're paying Bill O'Brien to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in every situation is different. You're talking about the Steelers. They lose Le'Veon Bell, and they have somebody come
Connor
come in and give the same type of production. I don't know if the Texans are there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, yes, and you're talking about the Chiefs and you're talking about the Patriots. And I mean, yeah, like, they figured it out, you know. But was the Rams as successful when Gurley went down?
And Cooper Kupp, too.
Cooper Kupp. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like, it's a case-by-case basis. All I was getting at with the system fit and the players was to overspend. Like, right now, you're walking around the mall,
Dumb money.
You walk around the mall, like, you know what? I got 30 pairs of shoes, but man, those, I could really use some really cool house shoes. You know what? Let me grab those. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of, if you're
impulse
in that situation,
buying.
Impulse buying, bingo.
Yeah.
They shouldn't impulse buy. And the thing about it is, we don't know that. They probably finished top three, top four, whatever. And then if I'm an agent, I'm trying to hike up the price, and there's people out there just spending it. I mean, the Browns had to be really bad for a long time to get themselves in the financial situation they are now.
That's what scares me, though, Gerard, because I think the one thing about the Browns, and we're actually going to have you talk about the Browns in 10 minutes and if the Texans are chasing the Browns now, is that the thing that scares me the most about the Texans right now is I feel like they're in the most dangerous place you can be for an NFL team, and that you're 9-7, you win 10, and you're going back and forth there. You're basically on a mediocre treadmill. The Browns had to be really bad to get really good. That's what happened, and that's what scares me about the Texans is if you're not taking that next step, you might as well just have a 1-15 season to where you can start building a roster, because it's dangerous to be in the area they're at right now.
And we talk about the fans. As a fan, would you rather go through a 1-15 season and get everybody away and start hoarding draft picks and say in 2 years from now we're going to be who we're going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather be where you are right now, to where trade deadline, life happens, things happen, mm-hmm. and Antonio Brown and Gruden get into it?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many things that can happen, but I just think it is judicious of the Texans to essentially – not overspending free agency, because I do think they're going after players. I do think they're making phone calls. I do think they're prodding the tires on things.
Mm-hmm.
But once you realize the ballpark they're in, it's like, nah, man, I can't.
Well, the actions have said that exact same thing.
Yeah.
They didn't want to afford, Tyrann Mathieu. So they brought in, Gibson.
Yeah.
There's running backs that, I mean, Le'Veon Bell was out there. At least a couple reports said the Texans were interested, even though John McClain said not. Well, they weren't going to pay that, so they clearly are just being frugal.
To take that line of thought, let's put on our super optimistic hat here, and the Texans don't make a move, right? And they save this money, and then this year they go and they barely miss the playoffs,
right?
Does that put you in that? It puts you next year. It puts you where you want to be
with the same amount of money.
Same amount of money, you get a higher draft pick, and now you go get a generational talent. Like so. This whole thing is the long game, I think. And I do think that Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain have a little, I'm not going to say rope, but they have a little longevity. Mm-hmm. They can play a little longer game.
They can play some chess instead of checkers.
They can play a little longer game with a young quarterback. I know J.J. Watt's time's coming up, and nobody wants to. And I think they understand the window is closing,
mm-hmm.
but I think they are trying to pick their spots a little more. And if I'm Bill O'Brien, I'm putting more onus on our coaches. Let's coach the guys you got in the building. And let's go get system fit for what we're looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if the guy doesn't fit that, we will only overspend for like a 70, because everything's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting in a room and I got my board or whatever, I got my criteria. Nick Saban has his criteria, what he recruits at Alabama. You better know your offense and defense well enough to know these are the things we need. These are things that, if it's a list of 10 things, we got to get 7 out of 10 on all these players to spend X amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't fit that ratio, stay away from them. But when we do, we will put the house on it,
mm-hmm.
And I don't look at this free agency class and see any people out there that, that the Texans just must have that walk right in and have that system fit.
That's former NFL quarterback Gerard Johnson telling us to, in short, trust the process. We're going to get his thoughts on the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars in just a sec. But before we do, we got to mention the game last night at the Toyota Center. Rockets looking to sweep the Warriors in the regular season. Instead, they lose 106-104. And something happened in that game that just cannot happen if the Rockets are going to compete with the Golden State Warriors.
And that is
Boogie Cousins dominating Ooh. Clint Capela and making him look like
this is best game of the
like
year.
A rookie. Like, Boogie Cousins' best game as a Warrior, 27 points, 7 rebounds. We saw Capela
six
last
assists
year.
Or something.
Yeah, and we saw him in the Western Conference Finals last year. Clint Capela kind of disappeared against the Warriors. His season averages, he was 10-10 for the series.
Yeah.
If the Rockets have any hope of beating the Golden State Warriors, Boogie Cousins cannot win the matchup against Clint Capela. There's no excuse for that. Of everything we talk about, we can talk about Harden, we can talk about Chris Paul. Boogie Cousins cannot come bully Clint Capela if the Rockets want to even last 5 games with the Golden State Warriors in the playoffs.
And right now they are in the 4 seed in the Western Conference.
Which means?
You don't want to be in the 4 seed.
That means you would face the Warriors in the second round instead of the third.
If you get by the Trailblazers.
Well, they're a hot team too.
The Trailblazers are the 5 seed right now. And so they need to win some games, get into at least the 3. Any you know, pie in the sky hope of getting to the one seed is pretty much done after last night. But yeah, they got to get out of that four seed.
And the Warriors, it's really interesting because they basically said that this was a statement game. They come out there and they make the statement, and now people are kind of questioning the Rockets. They did this without Kevin Durant. How do you feel about the Rockets, Gerard? You feel like they got a chance to hang with these guys? If Cousins is playing like that, that's a wrap.
Well, I think they got a chance. I mean, my hat goes off to the Warriors because the Rockets' whole lineup, why the Rockets gave them so much fits, why you have Kenneth Faried, why you have P.J. Tucker, their whole thought is we need to switch it all five positions. Be physical with them, run them off the three-point line, and just make it tough. That possession where P.J. Tucker as a 3-4, whatever you want to call it, slash, switched off on Steph Curry and forced him to shoot a one-foot step back inside the three-point line. That's not his favorite shot to get a – that is the Rockets' game plan, and we're going to go ISO and isolate Steph Curry and the guys that don't defend well on defense. Well, the Warriors zagged.
Yeah.
They built their whole team to play run off the three-point line, five guys on the edge, guard your man – you know, one-on-one defense. And all of a sudden, the Warriors drop a postman in there, and they played old-school 1999 basketball. ISO with the post on the block. And if you
and
double,
I dare you,
you
to double.
The best shooters
I dare
in
you
the world.
To double, yeah.
And if Boogie Cousins is going to go for 26 and 10.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. And the Warriors, like, they built their whole game off of a bunch of tweeners. The entire Rockets lineup is 6'3 to 6'8. Whatchamacallit positions. Other than Capella, all four of those guys can play 1 through 5 at B. You know what I'm saying? And they went to ISO ball, post-ups, old-school Jordan, Kobe, that style of game.
Making sure you don't
Rockets,
switch.
Making sure you don't switch. Yeah. And they kind of gave the Rockets fits as far as game plan-wise because what made the Rockets so successful is all this poetry and motion. I'm a back cut and flare cut and skip pass and all these. When you're watching the ball travel, the fluidness of them passing, the Rockets mucked up all of that last year. In the last couple times they played, every time Steph Curry's come off a screen, he's getting nudged.
Yep.
They're getting bumped. They're switching. They're hedging. They're doing all these things. And while my back's to the defense and I'm not denying the ball, you can't help cook Capella. And now Cousins is getting the ball deep in the paint, one-on-one by himself.
No, you got no chance.
And put on a clinic.
Yeah, you
and
got
now,
no chance.
And now Kevin Durant will be back next
All
time.
That said, we'll see how that goes. What did I say yesterday? I, you know, you can call it what you want, but I don't put a lot of stock into regular season. It doesn't really dictate what happens in the postseason. Now, strategically, it might if they're successful with what Gerard was talking about.
That's John Lopez, Gerard Johnson in the building, former NFL quarterback. Coming up next, are the Texans chasing both the Browns and the Jaguars in the AFC? Gerard Johnson answers that question next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.